Good morning. It's good to see you. It is true we have folks traveling. I think it's also true that, you know, about half the congregation's in the kitchen getting the food ready. So that might be, we might be missing a few folks because of that. But it is good to see everybody. My message this morning is entitled, The Zen of Kindness. So do you ever wonder why folks sometimes stand by and do absolutely nothing, even when they see someone in need and know that they have the means to help? Well, believe it or not, the same neurological writing that rewards us for doing good can actually also penalize us when our sort of reptilian instincts sense that we're about to do good for what it tells us are the wrong people. You see, for thousands of years, we humans survived by forming tribes and alliances and communities. And among other things, those communities protected and nurtured the members and neighbors, but they also pillaged and enslaved and killed the outsiders. And as a result, our sort of fight or flight response gets triggered whenever we're around people that we perceive as different, as not a part of our perceived tribe. Now, that's part of why it's far easier for a white, liberal, and I'll generously say middle-aged male to share his umbrella with another white, liberal, middle-aged male that he's known for years. And why it's much harder for some white, liberal, middle-aged men to do the same thing for a young Asian man that he's never met. We also, of course, hold back on helping others for other reasons. And one of those reasons is the less than altruistic messages of capitalism. Christine Carter, a sociologist at UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center, says, quote, "We're conditioned to think that life is about pursuing and getting what we want. But the secret to happiness actually lies in the giving and not in the getting." It's interesting to consider that in our consumeristic society, much of what we assume will make us happy actually provides, well, very little happiness at all. Research consistently shows that spending money on ourselves, whether it's to get the newest smartphone or, as I'm about to, go on a great vacation, hits close to home sometimes. Those things only result in mild and fleeting happiness at best. But research also tells us that spending even a small amount on others tends to produce a powerful and lasting sense of joy. Now, another reason we tend to hold back on helping others is the places of our lives. It turns out that the more rushed we are, the more rushed that we feel, the less likely we are to make time for others. But counterintuitively, according to experiments by Yale, Harvard, and the University of Pennsylvania, making time for others tends to make us feel as if we have more time in our lives. In one of the tests that they ran, a group of college students, well, they were asked to spend just the last 15 minutes of their class time helping edit essays for at-risk high school students. Then half of the class did that, and then the other half of the class, the students were just allowed to leave 15 minutes early. Counterintuitively, the students who donated their time editing later reported that they were feeling as if they had more free time, while the students who were given 15 minutes all felt much more constrained by time. The simple reality is that when you give something to others, be it food or clothing or shelter or any other good deed, the happiness you share with them comes right back at you. And as our earlier example showed, that's not just conjecture or a strongly held belief. It's backed up by scientific study. As a matter of fact, another study out of the University of British Columbia involved toddlers. And it showed that young children were found to be much happier giving than receiving. Now, the importance of it being toddlers was that they had very little time to develop those biases and prejudices that most of us had. Those running the study hypothesized that having not been conditioned in those ways that most of us had, whatever the toddlers felt arose from a place of free biases. You know, the reality is, regardless of age or actual personal circumstances, helping others allows you to gain one important and seemingly simple thing, and that thing is simply feeling good. You may notice that you're smiling after a good deed. And because you've received that positive feedback, you are actually more likely to do it again, basically forming this positive feedback loop. An example of this positive feedback loop comes from a study by Sonia, and her last name's tricky, Luya Bomrisky, a professor at the University of California in Riverside, who conducted a study of more than 100 employees at Coca-Cola. Now, she designated a few of them, or some of them, as givers, and asked them just on a regular basis to perform anonymous acts of kindness for 3 co-workers each. And they did this for 16 weeks. So 16 weeks, employees throughout the company kept track of their mood and their stress level. You know, ultimately, both the givers and the receivers got happier. An effect that ultimately went viral. The generosity and happiness spread throughout the entire workplace, reaching employees who were not part of the study at all, and even to their friends and family who worked elsewhere. So, spiritually speaking, kindness not only helps give you a more positive outlook on life and on others, but it also helps create a better world. But it is sometimes easier said than done. In Zen Buddhism, there's the tale of a great teacher known as the Tree Roshi. Now, the Tree Roshi lived in a tree. The tree Roshi lived in a tree where he stayed secluded and experienced a great awakening. And as with this awakening, birds flocked around him. And not only birds, but people from all over were also drawn to come and see this tree Roshi. And great groups of people gathered and begged him to come down out of the tree and share his wisdom. To share his wisdom with them. And finally, he had no choice. The tree Roshi climbed down out of the tree, down to the earth, sat with the others, listened to their needs. "Please," they begged, "please tell us what you have learned." And he simply replied, "Whatever is harmful to you, do not do to another. Whatever would bring you benefit, do to others as well." Well, disappointed, the people replied, Is that it? Is that it? Even an eight-year-old knows that. "Yes," answered the tree Roshi. Even an 8-year-old child knows it, but even an 80-year-old man cannot fully do it. One of the main fruits of all true spiritual practices is kindness. Kindness to others, but also to ourselves. It's easy to speak. It's easy to speak and read about kindness. It's another thing altogether to make it part of who you are. A deep spiritual journey seeks to make kindness part of who you are at all times, in every breath, in every moment. In Zen practices, part of the goal is to be purified of greed and anger and delusion. Now, the hope is that part of the natural outcome of the absence of those things is to perform spontaneous acts of kindness. In Christianity, the concept of kindness is the only rational response to the grace and to the love that we receive. Out of a response to grace and love, we respond to others with grace and love, becoming constantly aware of the needs of our neighbors and working with them to fulfill the needs as we are able. What we cannot overlook here, however, is mindfulness. Mindfulness. Mindfulness is a classic Buddhist practice that aims to dramatically enhance how we live. It's learned and practiced not just in quiet meditation sessions, but also, and perhaps even more so, when we're with our family and our friends. And as we go about our day to day at work, in grocery stores, and even on the highway and stuck in traffic. Buddhist author Sylvia Bornstein says, mindfulness is the balanced, ongoing attention to what is happening. I'm going to read that again. The balanced, ongoing attention to what is happening, both physically and mentally, including the mind's perceptions and the mind's reactions. When we are mindful, we will not only see the true outcomes and impact of behavior that is not kind compared to behavior that is kind, but that knowledge will be present with us in each moment, guiding our every action. And mind you, constant mindfulness is not always possible. We will all mess up. Yell at the guy who cut you off at traffic, ignore someone in need, but constant mindfulness, constant kindness is the goal. So true kindness arises from a thoughtful response to grace and love, 2, discipline, and 3, the observance of outcomes of specific actions. The idea is that we can ultimately learn to take the actions despite our moods and our feelings and parlay them into kindness. Another spiritual benefit of kindness is related to gaining a more positive outlook. Not only does it simply make you feel happier, but one of the spiritual benefits of serving others is how your good deed improves your own self-esteem. When you help someone, the recipient of your good deed is typically grateful, and this positive feedback can give you a deep sense of pride. And you can also enhance the spiritual benefit of the positive feedback by then meditating on your accomplishments daily, if possible at all. When you do, what you'll find is that you gain better wisdom and a deeper sense of well-being and even a deeper inner peace. And as you meditate on the experience, the positive outlook on yourself and on the world will actually begin to increase. A number of studies have also indicated that if you want to lead a less stressful life, simply be kind to others. But today's somewhat, let's call it stressful world, I'd say stress relief is certainly one of the most needed spiritual benefits in today's time. We need kindness. And as you care for others, it takes your mind away from your worries. And as you care for the welfare of other people, your personal stress will begin to go away. Many studies have actually found that establishing a deep interpersonal connection with others may help people find full relief from stresses that they've yet to be able to manage. There's a story of a well-experienced Zen student, the Zen fisherman. He has completed his studies, and he comes down from the mountain to mix with the rest of the world. And if you look at him, you cannot find him. He's somewhere in the marketplace with the other fishermen. The only way that you will know him is that wherever he goes, withered trees burst into bloom. When a person is devoted to purifying their inner world and performing acts of true kindness, then wherever they go, withered people like withered trees bloom. In the end, I have to agree with the Dalai Lama. Kindness is the radicalness of our day and age. So, expand your spirituality. Be radical. And practice kindness in every moment and in every breath. This is an opportunity for you to respond to today's talk or the theme of today. We just do remind you, there's a lot of us here, so whatever you are going to say, have thought about what you might say and keep it to the point and brief as possible so everyone has an opportunity. Are there those who would like to share?
Good morning, I'm Charlie. It seems to me that this feeling that you get from kindness is too fleeting. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people would do it more and more and more. Although I think sometimes there are people who do it once and they say, oh, that feels good, and then they kind of get on a track of of doing that. But
I think you're probably right.
Thank you for the sermon.
Thanks for the perspective. Are there others who wish to share? All the way down front. You should have put your jogging shoes on. Although with the white hair and the microphone and running through everybody, I get these Phil Donahue-like flashbacks.
Thank you, Mark, for that. I really always need those reminders. Something that I try to do that helps me is when I'm in a store and getting checked out, I try to actually make eye contact and to be sort of sincere in my greeting of that other person and thanking them.
Oh, yeah.
And that helps. I don't know if they perceive it or not, but it helps me not feel as anonymous and routine and
sure.
sort of mechanic. Have it be so mechanical.
Right.
So that's something I try to do.
Great. I love that. Julie.
Yesterday I was at Fresh Market. And as I was going in, a woman was going out, and she said something to me. And I turned around and looked at her. I said, "What did you say?" She said, "I hope you have a good day." And I was so startled. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
The other thing, as you talked, I kept thinking back to my seminary days and the challenge from the organist at Duke Chapel to my class was to bring that kindness physically into worship, into the chapel, into our classes. So he told us about the origin of the handshake. And then he said, "Don't ever shake hands with me, but give me a high five or take my elbow and just wish me a good day."
Yeah. And the origins of handshakes just prove you don't have a weapon, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I think about how many ways we've tried here to bring that kindness into this space.
Mm. Yeah.
So thanks for today's
thanks
message.
Thanks for adding that to it. Nice perspective. Others. Oh, over here.
As a recipient of the kindness of this church, it's really hard. Payback is really hard. I don't wish, you know, injuries, illnesses on people just so, you know, you could pay it back. So frustrated, I think. I'm trying to be introspective now, but it overflows.
Mm.
I mean, you get so much kindness.
Mm.
I mean, it's hard to contain it.
Right. You want it to go somewhere.
Interesting people that you meet. I mean, a girl crying in a restroom, a little waitress crying in a restroom that you can say something to and engage. And then just people that look down or people that even just look at you like they want to be engaged by. But you can just show kindness in so many ways. And I cannot, and I know Fred gets really unnerved. People that look like they need help, I'm drawn to, and to see what's going on or see if I can help.
Absolutely.
And that's from here.
That's lovely. Thank you for sharing that. Is there anyone else?
You know, that reminds me to say, I don't wish that we would wait until something bad happens to someone before we show kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Linda. Thank you for saying that you're drawn to situations where you think you can help someone. I think in today's world, there's so much stress that people are almost backing away from doing things that they might want to do or they might ordinarily do in another day and time.
Absolutely. It's interesting. I can't tell you the number of studies out there that show that simple kindness throughout the day, you expressing it to others, even if they don't express it back, reduces your stress immensely. Like it's almost one of the things where they almost have to go back and do this test again because there's no way that's the numbers kind of thing. So, yes.
My name is Lena, and I've actually been a mindfulness practitioner for about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was introduced to it at a Buddhist meditation center. And I'm now a trainer in mindfulness, and loving kindness is how they refer to kindness. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a practice that changed my life.
Yeah.
Totally. And I'd be happy to offer a series in mindfulness here if anyone is interested.
And I will say, in all the studies, and even just in my life, if you're just being selfish about kindness and what can it do for me, the mindfulness part of that amplifies what you get from it so much. It's like revving up the benefits of kindness by then also being mindful of what's going on in the moment and after the moment. Are there others?
Hi, I'm Zora. Try to keep this brief, but thank you so much for that amazing, profound message. And kindness is, by many, you know, all spiritual teachings, and I've read quite a few, is considered the most profound and simplest, heart-filled expressions of love. It's it's beautiful in its simplicity and its profundity. Many, many studies are revealing that the altruistic sense in human beings is really the strongest drive about socialization and all that. So, yes, and even though we are in a dysfunctional culture, awareness of that is waking up,
yeah,
I believe.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Go that way.
Hi, I'm Rebecca. I just wanted to say that I like the combination of looking at mindfulness and awareness and kindness in the same way. So I just think it's so important, you know, when you're spending time with someone to be present in that moment. Really, one of my biggest pet peeves is to try to be spending time with someone and then they're on their phone or what have you. I actually have that happen in my own family on occasion. And so it just sort of feels like, okay, am I important to you or am I not? You know, and so one of the kindest things you can actually do is to, you know, kind of like Elsie was saying, just
be present.
Be actually present and give someone your full attention.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your sermon, preacher, and for being kind to me and Mark. I saw a woman on Wendover. She was pregnant, and so I tried to show her some kindness by giving her some food.
Mm.
And so her husband was there, and they looked like they were in dire straits.
Yeah.
So thank y'all for being kind to
us. That's a great thing to do.